You know I'm a faggot. That much is true. Well, I'm just a faggot on my knees for you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Hierarchy Podcast, production of the website fagsworshipalphas.com. I'm Sam the Faggot. It's January 24th, 2022. I hope you're well. I'm doing okay. Thank you very much for asking or not asking. Well, I don't really have any news per se. I have a couple of really good posts up on the website. I just worked on them just now. One of them involves a faggot named Armand, who is a 38-year-old faggot who essentially raised an alpha named Raul from the age of 15. Now, Raul's an adult now, and Raul is essentially taking more and more control of Armand to the point where he is basically now Armand's master, which is kind of an interesting dynamic that does happen quite a bit. Like when older faggots groom younger alphas that they identify as alpha at a young age, a lot of times that older faggot will become like the first faggot for that alpha to kind of like a teething ring, sort of. The alpha teethes on that first faggot, that older faggot, because the older faggot has money and, you know, access to things that the alpha wants, and so it just develops from there. And this has been going on since the beginning of time. You know, I don't need to go into what they used to do with the Greeks and the Romans, so it's a very time-honored tradition, but it's a pretty good story, so I recommend you go to the website and read that. But anyway, I kind of was in a weird mood, and I wanted to do a little story time rather than, like, talk about any kind of pressing issues today, or training things or whatever. I wanted to tell a story about an old faggot that I used to know named Earl. I think I might have mentioned him on the website at some point in the past, just briefly in passing. And but Earl's been getting on my mind a little bit more. I guess as I get a little older, you know, and I get this question sometimes from faggots, like, you know, what is the life of a faggot? What happens down the road for a faggot, you know? And that's an unanswerable question, obviously. Hopefully, you know, you live a healthy life and you live a long time and you are healthy enough to continue to serve. Hopefully you find an alpha that will own you, you know, permanently and keep you. All these things are just hopes, right? But I mean, if we're realistic, there, you know, faggots can have a rough way to go as they get older because they're not as physically attractive to alphas. Even though, you know, an older faggot can clean and cook and buy things or whatever, you know, still be of service. But, you know, alphas are, you know how alphas are, you know. So, anyway. About back to Earl. Okay, so Earl, after I was raped in my first apartment, out of college, when I got out of college, I immediately moved out of that apartment into a townhouse, and I lived there by myself. And the townhouses in this complex were kind of odd. They had like it was a townhouse, but then underneath the townhouse was a small, like tiny little one-bedroom apartment, okay? So it was essentially three floors, and I had the top two floors of the building, and then there was an apartment underneath my apartment. And the complex was nasty. It was really not a great complex. I moved there out of desperation, mainly because of the rape. And I was not making good decisions really at all. So I moved into this townhouse. And in that one-bedroom apartment underneath mine was an old faggot named Earl. Now, mind you that I was young, very, very young, a young little flighty faggot myself, you know, who was, you know, really laser focused on serving alphas at that point, and I just didn't have any room or time or anything else, you know, for anything else, really, you know, but it was just all parties and service and whatnot. And Earl was an older faggot, okay? He was probably, I don't know how old he was exactly. He looked to be like 65, 70 years old. I mean, he was an old, old, old faggot, okay? And it was very obvious from day one that he was a faggot. And I didn't let on, you know, anything about me being a faggot to him, okay? Honestly, I didn't really want to deal with him. Earl was, he was in terrible, terrible shape, okay? He smoked continuously. And he could barely walk. He was overweight. He looked diseased. You know, he had those cholesterol bumps all over his eyelids and stuff. Like he just really looked bad. He was a nice guy. Very kind of cynical. nice guy, but cynical. He used to sit outside his little one, because he was on the ground floor, okay? So he would sit outside on the sidewalk outside his one-bedroom apartment. He had these little plastic flowers that he had in a pot by the door, and it was very faggoty. Just his whole demeanor and everything about him was just this old faggot, okay? And he would sit outside and smoke, chain smoke constantly. And I couldn't get in and out of my apartment without seeing him, you know? Like, I would come home from work, and he would be sitting out there, and I'd be kind of stuck in these conversations with him. And he would ask me personal questions, and I would kind of deflect. And then I would just make some sort of excuse to get away from him. When I was going out at night or whatever, I would just fly past him and just kind of, you know, "Hey, Earl," and leave. Because at the time, I was 21, I guess, 20-ish, 21. And I was just out. I was just a hot little thing bouncing around. And I was too concerned with my own desires to serve and party. And I didn't have time for some decrepit faggot. And so I didn't treat Earl very well, I don't think. I do remember one time Earl knocked on my door. I came down to my door, and he had made some cookies. And he offered me he had a little tin, and he put some of these homemade cookies in this tin. And he was like, I was thinking about you, and I wanted to give you these cookies. Now, I knew what he was doing. All right, I was a fairly wily faggot even back then. I knew what he was up to, and I think probably you do too. If you read my website, I suggest this kind of thing all the time because it does work. But he was trying to reach out and start offering some sort of service to me. And I threw the cookies in the trash, okay? Like, there was no way on earth I would eat those cookies. First of all, I mean, I didn't even look at the cookies. I'm sure they probably had cigarette ashes in them, okay? Or, you know, hey, Earl, these aren't chocolate chips. These are cigarette butts. Anyway, there was just no fucking way that I was going to eat those cookies. When he did that, like, that changed my demeanor toward him in terms of, like, I really put up a brick wall to Earl at that point, you know. And I only stayed there a year, and I went and got a condo. And then it was a nasty apartment complex. It was, you know, there were like these little Hoosier kids that were shooting fireworks at pregnant women and stuff. Like, it was just a really awful place. Trash everywhere. It was horrible. But, and Earl fit in perfectly there. Not too terribly long ago, I was in the area where that apartment complex was, and I drove through that complex, and I saw that building that I used to live in, and Earl's apartment. You know, Earl is probably dead. I mean, it's been a long time, almost 2 decades, I guess. And I haven't really thought much about Earl over the years. But as I get older, I just think to myself, I don't want to be Earl. I don't want to be a broken down, directionless faggot alone at the end of my life. And I think that is the thing that a lot of faggots that come to me asking for advice about what comes at the end. What is the end result? Well, I guess my advice is it can be anything you want it to be. But you don't want it to be Earl, okay? Be like Mike, don't be like Earl, okay? Earl, I don't know anything about Earl's life that led to where he was at. But, you know, as we get older, things happen, you know, out of the blue that can severely impact the quality of the rest of your life, you know. I mean, I certainly did not think that I was going to have cancer when I did, you know. And I almost lost my life, you know, from that. And I didn't think the next year, or 2 years later, I was going to have a staph infection that almost killed me. And those things have impacted my life since then, you know. In really profound ways. And so, like, I guess, you know, I just think about Earl sometimes, and I think, well, what led up to Earl being that way, you know? A lonely, lonely life, sitting outside with his plastic flowers and his cigarettes. It's scary, you know, to be honest. I mean, I'm usually Mr. Faggot, you know? Like, I'm usually talking up faghood, but, you know, ultimately these are the things that we have to consider about our faghood, you know. Alphas have it easy in this regard because They age gracefully. Everybody worships them even when they get older, you know. Nothing seems to really change, you know. I mean, they have problems, you know. They can get erectile dysfunction or, you know, whatever. They can get have thyroid problems and get really fat. I don't know. But typically, though, alphas are good, you know, to go. But faggots have a shelf life, and it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be a finite kind of shelf life, but, you know, it's there. And I guess for me, I think to myself, well, I have baby boy, okay, so, and I have, my family, for the most part, is fine, you know, but I have baby boy, and so I'm probably not going to be alone at the end of my life. I have good friends, too, but, you know, friendship is not something you can count on. But I'm just saying, you know, baby boy and I are one. And so, that's one way I have a leg up on Earl, you know, because Earl had nobody. Yeah, it's just something to think about, you know. I just wanted to pass along that terrible example of Earl. May he rest in peace. Ultimately, I don't want to discourage anybody from seeking fulfillment, because you were born a faggot. You're supposed to be serving. Don't waste the time. If you're young or youngish, don't waste the time that you've got. Because at some point, time's up. Make sure that you serve while you really have the opportunity to serve. What you do from there or what the rest of your life is another thing, but you don't want to be at the end of your life sitting there like Earl, feeling empty. So that's really my message for today. It's kind of a downer, but yeah, this is a little story from my life, I guess. So I wanted to pass it along to you. I guess we will go back to our regularly scheduled programming after this, but I have a couple of podcasts coming up, interviews, I mean, coming up, so maybe that will lighten the mood. Anyway, I will talk to you later, okay? I love you.
Bye.